Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios, New York City, and I welcome you. This is going to be an empowering hour. No guest, no in-depth investigative reporting, no commentaries that I normally do throughout the week. Instead, this is called Talkback, which means that for at least 45 minutes of this program, the phones will be open for you to call in and ask any question, to make any statement that is relevant to the issues that we discuss. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. I look forward to your calls. There are many different ways to hear this program. I was not even aware of all the different ways that our IT people had set it up so it could be heard. For example, just one of our servers, podbean.com, that's pod, podbean.com, had 51 million downloads of this program. Just that my program, not the others on the air. We also have Stitcher.com, TuneIn, TuneIn.com, Autoport.com, iTunes, which is a big one, .com, and so lots of ways to listen in, or you can listen in over the telephone anywhere by calling 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869. Let's begin. A lot of people eat eggs on a regular basis, even organic eggs. This is the latest from Nature Medicine, a peer-reviewed journal. Also, another study published in the New England Journal of Medicine backs this up. Some research at the Cleveland Clinic. Here's what it says. Eggs may raise heart risk via gut bacteria. And yet another study by the same U.S. team links raised the risk of heart attack and stroke to the action of the microflora in your gut on certain compounds contained in digestive food. This time, the link is to a compound found in eggs. Earlier this month, researchers reported on the meat increasing the risk and energy drinks increasing the risk of heart disease based upon how they interrelate with our gut bacteria. And now they're saying eggs do the same thing. Well, keep in mind that animal proteins of all types are generally thoroughly cooked before they're consumed. On the one hand, that helps kill a lot of the pathogenic bacteria because all meat is toxic. It is not possible to find a clean piece of meat. What do I mean by that? I mean that the moment an animal's metabolism, whether it's fish or chicken, or veal, or horse, cow, lamb, pig, doesn't matter. The moment it dies, at the second of death, its entire immune system ceases to protect it. Now, normally there'd be a massive amount of normal protective microorganisms that are trying to detoxify the animal's bloodstream and cells. When those are gone, all you have are the bad bugs, the bad bacteria and viruses, and they proliferate. That's why, for example, if you ate some egg salad that was out in the sun for several hours, high probability you're going to end up with a food poisoning. Well, was it there at the moment it was made? No. But it proliferates in bad bacteria. Same with tuna. If someone left a tuna salad out and for like 6 or 7 hours, not even in the sun, just out on a table, there's a high probability you end up with food poisoning. When death occurs, cortisol just absolutely erupts in the system. That causes blood to be locked in the cells. Even in some of the Orthodox religious communities where they will claim completely false, that, you know, the blood is out of the animal. It's not. Only the blood that was in the arteries and veins. But that's a small percentage, as it is in we human beings. The smallest amount of blood in our body is in our arteries. The vast majority is in our muscles, our tissues. This, every single cell in the body is holding blood. As a result, that goes bad. How do you think that you got that age prime beef? It was simple. Historically, they would put a side of beef up on a hook and put it in a room. Now, there are several ways they did it. One was, if they had blocks of ice, they would put a block of ice underneath the meat, and that would keep it cool. Then they would rotate it into a room that didn't have a block of ice, and it would get very hot. Hence, the meat would begin to decompose. It would literally rot down. Much like you have the smell of death in a village where corpses are out and haven't been buried, or the smell of a dead rat and you don't know where it's at, but you can smell it. It's a lot worse with a piece of meat. But by freezing the meat, you no longer smell it. Or by chemically treating it, you no longer smell it. And you would never buy meat if you saw it's actually a collar. It's generally a dark gray to a light gray, and it smells to high heavens. Well, after you've aged it like this for 30 days, you could literally just take a piece of the meat and rip it off. So they call that prime aged. No, it is putrid, rotting meat. But we dress it up, and we change the color with sodium nitrite, make it look red. That's the problem. Meat is a toxic substance. It is not humanly possible anywhere ever to have a clean piece of meat, because all meat, no matter what its source, has bacteria and viruses. And that can cause a problem, and does. Then you add in the problem of how you cook it. The more you cook something, the more you change its chemical composition, making it more difficult to digest and creating, in the case of animal proteins, heterocyclic amines, which are very carcinogenic. Now, when you bring all that together into the gut, the gastrointestinal system, then you're proliferating a bad bacteria with other bad bacteria. And if you should have sugar or yeast, you get even more bad bacteria. So, that is the problem. But let's say that you have alcohol, as many people do when they have a steak meal. More trouble, because alcohol destroys the good bacteria, but allows the bad bacteria to proliferate. It is in that highly toxic intestine that these bacteria become even more now specifically deadly to the system, and with eggs or beef, causing a greater risk of heart attack or stroke. So why don't we simply give it up and eat healthier food and colonize our intestine with healthy probiotics from 4 to 50 billion a day? It doesn't take a lot to get there. A teaspoon of a high-quality probiotic will do that. Now, we've been told that vitamin C can help with a cold. And here's just another study to prove this. This is the latest study published in the highly regarded Cochrane Library. That's an independent group of scientists. And they review medical literature for accuracy. Quote, this study offered insight into how vitamin C could play an important role in protecting the physically stressed immune systems of endurance athletes. They supplement with vitamin C and, quote, can reduce the risk of catching a cold to marathon runners and other under similar stress. They looked at 29 separate studies involving 11,000 individuals from the general population, and they saw a substantial benefit in those that were, quote, heavy physical activity, including marathon runners and others in the midst of serious physical strains. So, if you're an long-distance athlete or a serious athlete, vitamin C can make a difference in preventing your immune system from taking a tumble, and that keeps you healthier. Cancer doctor explains how cooking with turmeric leads to amazing health benefits. This is from an important study, and here's what it has to say. This is a Dr. Sukumar, and he says the following. He is a cancer specialist, an oncologist, and she says that she frequently uses turmeric. Quote, firsthand knowledge of curcumin, the active component in turmeric, can provide health benefits and can easily be incorporated into daily life. And the health benefits are many. For example, for those who suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, who have painful swelling in the knees, turmeric is a great way to suppress inflammation. She also says that there are 300 peer-reviewed, independent scientific publications that cite turmeric for its anti-cancer effects. Many diseases, such as colon cancer and other types of cancer, are being traced to inflammation. End quote. So what she is showing is this, that in turmeric, which is the yellow powder that's used in curry, there is an active chemical, and it is called curcumin. And within the curcumin family, there are curcuminoids, and those are the very powerful anti-cancer agents. So when you have turmeric, you're getting curcumin. My suggestion is that take curcumin as an individual supplement to get the best effects. But if you're just looking for a way of eating healthier, turmeric and curry powders are one way of doing that. And this is from Margie King from Green Med Info, and she says, quote, parsley is well known for decorating a plate and freshening your breath, and but it's also good for cancer. This tiny green, quote, can stop the growth of breast cancer tumors associated with synthetic hormone replacement therapy. Now, what she's referring to is something that we should all be against. There is no good at all to synthetic hormone replacement therapy that could not be achieved with natural hormone replacement therapy that is not synthetic. The synthetic part is creating the progestins, progestin, G-E-S-T-I-N-S, and those increase the risk of breast cancer, especially in postmenopausal women. Well, this is the peer-reviewed journal called Cancer Prevention Research, and what they found was that there is an ingredient in parsley. Now, this audience has heard me mention in the past why you should be juicing or at least eating parsley on a regular basis. Not because it's a garnish, forget that. Just put it into a salad. Because there's a chemical called apigenin. A-P-I, genin, G-E-N-I-N. It's in the flavonoid family. You can also find it in some fruits and nuts. And when rats were given apigenin, they developed fewer tumors and experienced significant delays in tumor formation compared to those that were not. Well, now just think of it this way. 10 million American women each day take synthetic hormone replacement therapy. Over 1.3 million are at risk of a heart attack, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, dementia, colorectal cancer, and stroke. By taking in parsley on a regular basis and asking the person that juices, juice some parsley in there. That's the best way of getting in it, because then you're getting more of it in than what you would normally eat. That will help tremendously. So, that's good news. Now, just for those who don't like parsley or don't always have it available, you can also get it in Chinese cabbage, bell peppers, apples, cherries, oranges, walnuts, red wine, and green tea. And so, one more reason to use food in a functional way to help us. And also, for those of you who believe that you have a right, which you do, to eat anything you want, good or bad, which you do, and most Americans are with full intent or choosing ignorance of consequence, intended or not, to say, I want my trans fats when I want them. I want the cookies, the potato chips, the French fries. I want this. Fine. But understand something. The latest research from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, published through the National Institutes of Health, with 18,513 participants in the Reasons for Geographic and Racial Differences in Stroke study, which followed 30,000 African Americans and Caucasian men and women for 4 years, found the following, and only concerning trans fat levels in the body. The more trans fats you take in, you're going to die from all causes 7 years earlier than if you didn't. That means if the average lifespan right now for the average African American, male or female, is 65 or 75 or 76, then just subtract 7 years from that. Now, mind you, there are other studies that I have shown that eating meat reduces your increase your risk of dying by 6 years. And alcohol can increase your risk. And hence, you could be easily taking 15 years off your life by being overweight, having diabetes, eating those chips and crackers and French fries and pizzas because the crust, you're getting your trans fats there. So yes, you have absolutely every right to choose what you want. But does it make any sense to choose something that's going to shorten your life by 7 years? But that's not the only thing. The probability is if you're so disinterested in your own health, then you're probably doing everything else in this life wrong on top of it. So I would imagine that you'd be lucky to reach 50. And if you are, then feel blessed each day that you have another day to be alive, because you're not going to have a long life. Wished it were otherwise, but it's not. Now, for those of you who do care about your life and don't want to live a shorter life, good news in a major study from the Fox Chase Cancer Center. Quote, when you compare the Western diet to a Mediterranean diet, which has more of the omega-3s, you see less cancer in the Mediterranean diet. They eat more fish, end quote. So this shows that the omega-3 fatty acids, by the way, they didn't bring in the idea that the omega-3 fatty acids from flaxseed and avocado and walnuts and other sources also has anti-cancer properties. But it does. So the omega-3s can impact the metabolic products and slow or stop the proliferation or growth of cancer cells. And they're especially important in blocking the triple negative breast cancer cell line. So once again, to help protect against breast cancer, the omega-3 fatty acids, 1 to 3,000 milligrams a day, that would be a tablespoon a day, not a lot to take. And finally, pea protein plus soluble fiber slashes your cholesterol level in this study. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal, British Journal of Nutrition. And here is what it says. This was a report from the American Heart Association also. It says, a significant reduction in hepatic cholesterol content was observed in both soluble fibers, possibly as a consequence of reduced intestinal cholesterol absorption and increased bile acid synthesis. In quote, in lay language, what it means is that you can drop your cholesterol if you have some pea protein and fiber, like apple pectin, specifically apple pectin, or oat fiber. So when you get a good serving of fiber before you go to bed in the evening, you're helping to lower your cholesterol level while you sleep, and especially any cholesterol salts that are in the intestine, they're swept out by the fiber, and that's what you want. And that reduces that, and that can help save your heart. That's the latest in health and nutrition, always from Peer Review, always the latest. The things I try to share with you, I make sure that they're just not out there in the major media, because they have no filtration system to stop that which is industry supported. We do. We look for what really matters. When we come back, I'll start taking your calls. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and a special welcome to all the new people who were at 90th Street and 5th Avenue today for our Natural Living Running Walking Club Marathon training, getting people in condition to do the New York City Marathon. And we'll have one more week where people can come for the first time. Then it will be too late, and then we're well into our training. So next Sunday you can come. After that, won't be able to work with us. But up until next Sunday, please join us. Back in a moment. Have you with us, everyone? I'm Gary Knoll. Let's say hello to Nick from Ridgefield, New York. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for taking my call. And I also want to thank you for all you do. My question is, are there electromagnetic radiation blockers out there?
Yes. Yes, there are. If you go on the internet, you will see any number of screen blockers you can put on your computer screen. There are little shields you can put up at the headpiece for cell phones. Of course, the best thing with a cell phone is to use the cord, not a Bluetooth, but a cord that takes it away from the body at least 2 feet. And, of course, never use a cell phone at night. When comes time to sleep, turn it off and put it at least 7 feet away from your head. You should not have your television within 7 feet of your head, nor a digital clock within 7 feet of your head. And you can also have a... there are different companies that make different blockers that, in effect, are generally made from some form of gold coil spun that absorbs electromagnetic pulses and therefore deflects them from going into the body. All the best to you, Nick.
Thank you.
Jill from New York. Hi, Jill. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, I recently came down with mono, and before I was diagnosed, the doctor gave me antibiotics because they thought I had an infected lymph node. And I broke out in a full-body rash from the antibiotics. It's really bad, particularly on my feet. And I was wondering if there's anything I can do to help both the rash and the mono. I'm still having bad fevers and dizziness.
How old are you?
30.
Okay. There are many things you can do. First up, I would consider doing intravenous aqueous vitamin A.
Okay.
And then in graduating amounts of vitamin C. You build it up slowly. generally in 25,000 milligram increments, until you maximize the highest titer you can get, which for many people is 200,000 milligrams, for others it's less. And then you hold it there, then bring it back down again. At that level, you're fully capable of destroying any of the viruses and concomitant bacteria that will manifest. Remember, you always have bacteria in your body. You have 100 times more bacteria than you have cells. It gives you some idea of, you know, you could have 100 trillion bacteria. And we know that the bacteria communicate with each other, and we know that when you're sending the right vibrations in, the bacteria are positive, wrong, let's say highly stressed energy, toxic diet, alcohol, then you absolutely proliferate bad bacteria. And as I just reported, you eat eggs and then you have this bad bacteria, you eat meat and you have the bad bacteria, you can end up with higher incidence of heart attack and stroke. Mm-hmm. So that then, after that, I would then use a raw food protocol for 3 months. And I, the basis of that is our juices, and those juices should be about 12 times a day. And for a list of the juices and the list of the protocols, you can look online, and I have almost all the protocols up there in different forms that you can find. But make sure you do this under some form of professional guidance. We have, I don't even know how many people I've hired recently. I think I have 6 qualified people that I hire to counsel people with dietary concerns, helping them get as healthy as they can get, getting off bad habits, helping them de-stress. And it's free. It's purely a public service. And you can call 212-874-4000. And they'll, from Larry and Kenny and all the other people, they'll see you. You go in, sit down, and they'll help you, at least guide you through your protocols.
Okay.
And especially if people are stressed, depressed, anxious, wanting to make emotional changes. We have an outstanding person. Everyone likes her. Her name is Dr. Nadia. She has a PhD in psychology. She was top of her class at Albert Einstein School of Medicine in Yeshiva. And also she's very good because she's multilingual. She's very good for people in the Middle East because she speaks fluent Arabic and Spanish. And so she helps all kinds of people with everything. You can reach her at 646-926-5446. 646-926-5446. She's mastered coming from a mother, I've been told, who is a master chef. She can cook in any cuisine in the world. So she helps people understand how to select the spices, herbs, and the ingredients to shift from a meat-based diet, shifting over to a plant-based diet, but making it tasty and interesting. And that's good. So that's her. So, and again, I pay them outstanding wages, good living wage, and health benefits and everything else. So you get it for free. All right? So that's the approach I would take. And finally, if you're able to get the right person who is not going to exploit you, ozone would help, but there are specifics of how to do ozone, and unfortunately, very few people are doing it correctly.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All the best to you. Let us know how it goes, Jill, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I've got quite a few emails here, and I'll get to whatever we're able to get to. You know, last week on your show, you spoke about a time in your life where you tried to do a race and realized you had no chi, you had no energy. And we've got an outpouring of responses about that whole story. And one of these comes from Ginger. She doesn't say where she's from, but she says she was listening to your show and your response to the caller who lost everything and how he was feeling. And your words hit me. I say that because sometimes I need things to hit me in the head, even when I already know it. I've been struggling with this feeling that I knew something was off, but I wasn't sure what it was. I suffer from depression and anger issues, but I knew it wasn't this. Someone asked me if I felt like something was missing. You know, that feeling that some people have, especially when they're single. A feeling that I never really experienced, partially because I enjoy my own company. So the answer was no. I knew there was a reason for my compulsion of buying shoes. I just knew something was off. I also found myself struggling with the feeling of I'm going to show them. My family treats me different because I don't make the kind of money that they do and have all that they have. My last relationship over 2 years ago was with a woman who thought less of me because I couldn't find a job and spend money. Those things started to affect me. I knew my thinking of trying to show them wasn't right. I was bothered that I was falling into the mindset of let me acquire more stuff to show my worth. That is so not me. I know who I am. I'm kind. I love nature, cartoons, smiles and hugs, God and peace. I know I need to learn more about my chi and how to get it back on balance. But I'm at peace at the fact that I now know what the problem is. She said, thank you so much, Gary. My heart, mind, and bank account thanks you, too.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
No, everyone hears the same message, but we interpret it differently based upon what we're allowing ourselves to experience and how open are we to hearing what is said. Let me give an example. You were counseling a well-known licensed clinical psychologist today, correct?
Yes.
Explain what happened.
Well, when you approached her, you first asked if she was open to your insights, and she clearly was. And what happened from where I was sitting was an absolute shift in consciousness. Instead of adapting to her life events and her story from the past, you helped her to experience energy in the present moment and helping her to understand the omnipresence around her. And it was an amazing, for me to watch this was remarkable. But she had this amazing transformation of her energy in the moment. So instead of analyzing everything down to a known context, she was able to detach herself from all that and just be fully present in the moment and begin to embrace all that was good around her in that moment.
The idea was that she was in deep mourning and sorrow for the loss of her husband. She's 72 years of age. She's been a clinician for a long time, and yet she couldn't come to grips with being stuck in this place of not identifying the underlying cause. And I simply asked her a question. Do you believe that energy can be created or destroyed? And she said, no. And I said, well, then what are we? But we are energy. We are all living energy. Therefore, every choice we make in life is based upon sharing the energy of that choice. And we are conditioned to believe that we are all nothing more than millions of components put together, all from everything that we've ever experienced. So if someone tells us something's right, we accept that it's right, if we're young in particular, and don't have a way of rationalizing it or intellectualizing it. So we become a whole amalgamation of all these disparate energies. And then we live most of our lives, 95% of our days, the thoughts in our mind come from our past. They are not from this moment. So the question is, if everything is an exchange of energy, do we choose to exchange that energy today, or do we try to make sense of yesterday's energies? And as I explained to her, we can't change anything from yesterday. But we're always changing our perceptions, altering it depending upon how we feel. If we feel good about ourselves or something's exciting, then we have a more optimistic perception of things. And our perception then affects our perceptions, and then that creates our reality. But it also works in the opposite way of too. You can take a good experience, from your past and make it into a bad experience simply by not acknowledging that you've shifted your story. And if you remember, I said the most important thing we share with each other is our story. And we become the embodiment of our story. So if we have been a victim, if we didn't get the love or attention or unconditional acceptance as a child, or even remember I was talking to her, what do you think the fetus is feeling when a mother doesn't know whether she wants to keep the child or not, or the father, and all these vibrations of, you know, kill the fetus, we don't want it, but they don't. What in the world do you think that does based upon the epigenetics of energy transfer to the insecurity of that fetus? And then she stopped for a moment. She says, I hadn't thought about that, but it makes sense. And I said, everything is an exchange of energy. I said, hold a baby, and in a very firm voice, you know, reprimand it. You're going to get a complete physiological transfer. It'll stay with that child its entire life. Everything that happens to us stays with us for life. Nothing is ever forgotten. Nothing. Not a single breath in our life, a thought, a sight, a sound, an experience has ever been lost. They can't be. How we retrieve it is the key. And I said, now, imagine that you hold the baby in your arms and you kiss it, stroke its face, tickle it, hold it close to your heart, and sing to it. A completely different exchange of energy. We become an amalgamation of all the energies we've been given in our life. Think of the times where we were not appreciated, not respected, not honored, not loved, even resented. That all becomes an imprinted energy. That in turn means that for every moment that we can make a choice, that energy is pulsating vibrantly right in our psyche, and we'll always make the wrong choice. Even if we succeed by proving to others that we're lovable or smart or capable, or we can be responsible, and in the end, all we've done is we've honored an authentic self and disengage from the authentic. The non-authentic wins, the authentic loses. So by coming back to the exchange of energy, if we refuse to accept negative energy, if we refuse to personalize the attacks, the animosities, the bitterness, the hatreds, the biases, the prejudices, both societal and personal and familial, and we surround ourselves with that which isn't, encourages us to be mindful in this moment, then all healing is in this moment. We can't heal the past. Our journey of healing starts now, today, in this moment. That we have control over. But we don't spend time in this moment. All of our time is spent ruminating through the debris of emotional cataclysms from our past. That you can't change. I don't care if you have a Margaret Mead of emotional anthropology, you're not going to be able to change anything. All you can do is try to figure out consequences of earlier conditioning, but it doesn't change because you don't change the energy by understanding where it came from or how it manifested. The only way we change that is by today living mindfully and deciding, what do I want today? What do I want to feel today? And we decide today how we want, then all the rules of social engineering are suspended, and we enter a whole new paradigm. Now, I won't go into details, but was it confirmed to her on the phone with a person that came to see me 10 weeks ago, having suffered from clinical depression for 25 years, completely incapacitated for the last 15 years, and in the last 10 weeks, that person hasn't had a single depressed day?
Absolutely.
They've also lost 46 pounds, are happy and completely vital today?
Yes.
and there wasn't a single discussion about anything from that person's past, every single comment I've had with that person has been about today. And yet our society has no mechanisms of dealing with people today. Everything is trying to align, adjust, alter, or change the person's story. And I can't tell you how lethal stories can be, how limiting our stories can be. But we master our stories and not our lives.
We lose our whole identity to them.
To our stories. And we keep repeating it ad nauseum. And that's what justifies the alcoholic, the drug addict, the overeater, the gambler, the compulsive womanizer, the compulsive cheat, the exhibitionist, the person who's shy and self-effacing, the person who will never take any risks, never take any chance. It's all based on that same philosophy of the past becoming the story. And we don't change our stories. The only way we change our story is create a new one. Decide what you want your story to be, and does it align with your authentic self? Are you living an authentic life in this moment? And when you are, then everything that goes into that should honor now. And then you're in perfect synchronicity. You're in harmony. And there's no room for disease, dysfunction, depression, anxiety. Hard to imagine, but in 1 hour, look at what happened with a 17-year-old clinical psychologist, highly respected, highly regarded. Look what happened to her perceptions of herself and her method of caring.
It was quite remarkable.
Never know what goes on in a day around here.
I know.
Now, here's something for you, Luann. The woman who just called, who has mono. A lot of people would say she should go get ozone. I say no. Ozone will help as a secondary factor. But I want to set some standards. And if you see any of the standards I'm about to tell people as being inaccurate because you have a background and knowledge of ozone, and you're in the film documentary I did last year on ozone, I want you to speak up, all right?
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And you give us, without thinking, you just give us what comes top of your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should anyone see any medical doctor for ozone before having a complete, comprehensive, independent medical evaluation of their condition?
Absolutely not.
Should anyone who feels they have herpes or hepatitis or Epstein-Barr or mono, which is a kissing virus, Epstein-Barr virus, should they have any therapy, including ozone, before they have a complete viral panel done?
I do not think so, not at all.
All right, anyone receiving ozone, how often should they have ozone before they sclerose and collapse their veins and get a blood evaluation to determine, is it actually working?
Well, first of all, there's a whole protocol to preserve the veins, number one. Number two, depending on how many viruses they have, I've had people do very well getting ozone maybe twice a week or at the most three times a week if they're loaded with viruses or they're acutely ill.
Okay, how often would you agree that people should get a viral panel done if they're receiving ozone treatment?
Well, after every set. Based on the work that I've studied through your clinical experiences, I've noticed that people will do maybe a set of maybe two or three times a week for 5 weeks, and then while they're doing intravenous vitamin C.
That's correct. I don't believe anyone should get ozone until first they've been fully tested with actual scientific labs to show their viral load, and then at every 5 week stop, give their body a rest. And here's the rule from my perspective. Now, others can disagree, and that's fine. But I was the first one to bring ozone to a clinical setting in New York at the Tri-State Healing Center where our medical doctors were doing it. If you can't get results in 5 weeks, stop. Otherwise, you are not benefiting. There are other protocols, including homeopathic zeolites, other types of intravenous therapies that can work. But some people, unfortunately, are getting massive amounts of ozone, and all they're doing is bankrupting themselves because of greedy doctors and or incompetent ones who are not doing it the right way. And people have to stand up to the doctors and say no. And unfortunately, too many patients feel that somehow the doctor knows best. Don't make that assumption. Don't. Or otherwise, you'll spend your life savings, and one day you'll end up and say, gee whiz, why do I still have this virus? I did all this, my veins are collapsed, they're sclerosed, and someone's just going to shrug their shoulders. 5 weeks. If you can't get it in 5 weeks, give it up.
Well, not only that, Gary, it's not just about the ozone. It's about the lifestyle that supports getting ozone. People think if they just run in and get ozone, that's it. They're done. They reverse herpes and they go back, you know, to what they were doing before, and that's just not how it works.
That's correct. Also, we didn't reverse you reversed herpes 1, 2, and most importantly, you reversed herpes 6. You reversed hepatitis B, yes or no?
Yes.
That was through vitamin C drips and aqua vitamin A, was it not?
Yes, in combination with the ozone.
Because ozone by itself didn't do it. It was only when you got up to the high dose of vitamin C, because I remember the blood workups coming in, and that's when you did it.
Yes.
All right? Now, I believe that ozone should not cost more than $45 a treatment. Your thoughts?
Oh, I absolutely agree.
And what do you think of people charging $75, $85, $100 a treatment?
Well, they're collecting a whole lot of profit and maybe going on vacation a lot.
Whatever they're doing with their money, it's coming out of someone's pocket, and frequently this is not covered by insurance. And therefore, my rule is, if it's above $45, don't do it. Find someone else. So we're going to have to ask people to pay attention and stop being exploited. If it's not done right, all you're going to do is be disappointed. Get it done right. If it's done right, for the right conditions, it can make a difference in alignment with a whole lot of other protocols, and especially dietary protocols. Okay?
Yep.
Thanks for your call, Luann.
Okay.
Let's say hello to Mark from Virginia. Hi, Mark.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a runner. I'm 51 years old and weigh like about 185 pounds. And I have a case of plantar fasciitis. Mm-hmm. I know you're a great runner and wondering if you have any advice to take care of the problem.
Sure. Dude, you want to explain it to our audience? For those who are not runners, don't know what you're talking about?
You get kind of like a heel pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're almost like stepping on a tack.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to, but I took an x-ray, so it's not a heel spur. Sometimes a heel spur causes the pain, and somehow the plantar fasciitis and the heel spur work together.
We see a great deal of it. I've seen thousands of cases of it, and it's almost always due to overuse syndrome and especially improper form. Most of the form, in fact, today in the park, there was a race. And people coming down the hill, and they were stretched out, which meant that the distance out and then the distance down increased the pressure per square foot, or per square inch, actually, against the foot, which is the first to absorb the shock. And then it travels up, and it can cross into the knee, causing knee problems. It can cross over into the hip, causing hip problems, or can be displaced into the gluteus maximus, the rear, which is your largest muscle, and it is safely dispersed. But the idea is you should be running up and down a hill, shorter strides, pushing off the ball of the foot, keeping your feet no more than 3 inches off the ground. But that's right form. And that's how you prevent that. But let's say you already have it. Well, what you have then, you have massive inflammation, which can then trigger surrounding tissues to become inflamed. And then you can end up with lactic acid and uric acid crystals, which can then cause bad problems. I suggest three things. First, get yourself a heel cup, of the exceptional gel, which is not a normal shoe insert, but it's a much softer gel, then I suggest that you soak the foot in Epsom salts bath for about a half hour each day. I also suggest that you soak the whole body in Epsom salts using 4 quarts of Epsom salts in warm but not hot water for a half hour. Then internally, pantothenic acid and B6 and B1, folic acid, vitamin C, and black cumin seed oil. All of those, along with cayenne, are strong anti-inflammatory agents. And then flood the body with polyphenols, especially from your fruits, pomegranate, blueberry, raspberry, cherry, and that can help repair the damage to that tissue. Okay? All the best to you, Mark. I'm Gary Knoll. We're coming up near the end of our program, but still time for a couple more calls. If you'd like to call in on our TalkBack program, call 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm in our studios broadcasting live and video streaming from New York City. And we broadcast all over the world. And by the way, many ways to download the show. And why do I say this? Because historically, there was only one way. You tuned on the radio each day to the dial in your town, and that's how you listened. On PFW in Washington, and KPFK in Los Angeles, BAI in New York. And unfortunately, you're stuck if you were listening live, and that's how people listen. But then, now we have the internet, and we have ways of getting to you being able to download the show at your convenience, if you can't listen during the daytime. Or we have this unique service where we're number one in all of North and South America and closing in on being number one in the world. We're number two in the world. There's one giant station in South Africa. But you're talking about thousands of stations using this, and we have millions and millions and millions of minutes that people are listening. And our number to call on the telephone at any time and listen to the show, download it, listen live, 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869. But here are some of the other ways you can download on your computer from PRN.fm, iTunes, just I-T-U-N-E-S. Also, Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R, it's an app. And Podbeam.com, Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, AudioPort.com, and iTunes.com. So we have a lot of people listening and then sharing. A special hello to all of our friends who are listening in Israel and in the Middle East and sharing this information with one another so you can live a longer, healthier, and happier life. On our next program, I'm going to deal with what it's like to have fracking in your backyard. Also, everyone's forgotten about the British Petrol spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, we haven't. So we're going to talk about the release into the environment of Corexit, C-O-R-E-X-I-T. It's really bad, lots of people sick, and yet not a word about it. And also, from our environmental report, 3 years after, Deepwater Horizon report shows devastating impact of the dispersant used in cleanup, which is Corexit. So I just went around the Gulf in my last road trip, and it's bad, really bad. So we'll get to that. Let's say hello to Richard.
Hi. Hey, Gary, can you talk about degenerative disc disease? This is for someone who is a vegan, who has follows your protocol, but has recently been diagnosed with degenerative disc disease, and what we can do about it.
Okay, I'm going to do that on our next program because I only have about 12 seconds left here. I'm looking at this, but I'll get to that.
Great, we'll listen for that. Thank you.
Where are you calling from? We're out of time. Thank you all for taking your time. I appreciate it. Look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.
saving me.